Everyone, I said, praise the Lord. The blessings of the cross, the provision of Christ, and what happened at Calvary avail your life abundantly in Jesus' name. The grace, the goodness, and the excellent gift from the Christ who bled and died, was buried and rose again, avail in every life tonight. The Lord bless you, lift you up, and make his face to shine upon your life every moment, every hour, every day, week and month and year, all through your life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank and bless you. We glorify you for who you are, for what you have done, for sending forth your only begotten Son to die for us and to bear all our sin, as well as to bear all our sickness, all our infirmity, everything to take away from us, so that we can live a victorious life daily, every moment, until we see you face to face. Tonight, reveal your truth more and more unto every one of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Another amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Tonight, we come to reach, to learn, to study one of the greatest things we'll ever learn or study. We're talking about power. We're talking about faith. We're talking about the Lamb of God, the bleeding Lamb. Tonight, we're looking at the message, the power of faith in the bleeding Lamb. Read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, abundant love, abundant grace, he's been thinking about us from all eternity. And according to that abundant mercy, has begotten us again. By mercy, born again. By mercy, born anew. By mercy, born from heaven. Born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. In verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved and preserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. In verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. He brought us in by the power of God. A power that Satan could not stop. A power that the world could not hinder the power that comes as we believe in him. And it says we are kept by that power of God through faith unto salvation, unto redemption, unto total belonging unto God, ready to be revealed in the last time. The power of faith in the bleeding lamb. In Romans chapter 15, reading from verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. As we believe, we have faith in God, in what he has done, what he has given. It says, now we have hope, and we have all joy, and we have peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We're looking at the message, the power of faith in the bleeding lamb. Three things we're considering. Number one, obtaining the promises. More than one, the promise of salvation, the promise of healing, the promise of victory, the promise of being a conqueror in all things, at all times, obtaining the promises through the obedience of faith in the bleeding lamb. Number two, overcoming perplexities and obstacles of faith. There are obstacles of faith. The children of Israel experienced obstacles in the wilderness, and even in the New Testament, there were people that allowed the obstacles of faith to overcome them, to drown them in unbelief. And because of that unbelief that drowned them, and the obstacles of faith that hindered them, they couldn't get the best that God had provided for them. But there is a way. As we have Christ revealed more and more unto us, that we overcome the perplexities, the obstacles of faith in the barren land. Unbelief throws us back to the barren land. Those obstacles, if they are not overcome, those obstacles throw us back to the barren land. But when we overcome those perplexities and we overcome those obstacles of faith, then we don't live in the barren land. Number three, operating with power in our daily life. Operating with power in our community life. Operating with power in our ministerial life. Operating with power as ordained by faith in the bridegroom Lord, that Jesus is our Lord as well as a bridegroom. And in the bridegroom Lord, we have faith. He provides everything. He makes everything available And he has ordained that by faith in him, we have everything we need, everything we ask, everything we desire, spiritual, physical, emotional, everything. We have them as ordained by faith in the bridegroom Lord. Look at number one. Number one, obtaining the promises through the obedience of faith in the bleeding lamb. The lamb that died for us, the lamb that shed his blood. It happened about 33 AD in Jerusalem, nailed to the cross. He bled until he died. But the faith people of God had, they've had that even from the past. The Lamb of God that took away all our sin, he wasn't just revealed in John chapter 1, verse 29, verse 36, but even as far back at the time of Abraham, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. To the time of Isaiah, that it is the lamb that will take away all our sin. And to the New Testament, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And in the New Testament epistle, that we're saved by the precious blood, the spotless blood, and the blood of the Lamb that died for us and took all our sins away and destroyed and broke all the works of the devil. And so we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed the faith that made him to obey. Unbelief would not have helped him to obey when the Lord called him and he was going to give him an inheritance, an incorruptible inheritance. Faith made him to obey. In our lives too, faith makes us to obey. Unbelief makes people to disobey. Unfaithfulness makes people to disobey. But when we have faith in God, we have faith in his word, and like Abraham, we obey, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. That shows us how to obtain the promises. He obtained the promise of a land. He obtained the promise of his descendants going into that land. We obtain promises. All promises made by God and by Christ. Because we believe, and when we believe, and since we believe, we have faith and we obey. Verse 33, who through faith, you see that, who through faith subdued kingdoms. All they had been talking about from chapter 11 all through Abraham, Noah, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and David, and Gideon, and Jephthah, and all the others, all these through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, all the promises that were given to them, they obtained by faith. And all the promises that are given to us, we obtain by faith. Stopped the mouths of lions. It tells us in Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. And be not weak in faith. His faith was strong in God, because God cannot fail. Because what God said, what God promised, he fulfilled. And his faith, not in man, the faith in God. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. Faith does not consider anything we feel in the body. Faith does not consider anything here in the world of flesh. But we're told when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. There are some promises, they look so high, so great, that even people will say they appear unbelievable. And yet, we're told he did not stagger like a drunken man because of the promises God had given. At times, when we read some of the promises of God, they're so great, precious, almost unbelievable, that many people stagger at the promise of God. I give you a new heart. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh. Some people stagger at that. And I'll give you such a heart, you will not depart from me. Some people stagger at that. For them, so great, unbelievable, that by his divine power, he gives us the very nature of Christ. So great, some people stagger at that. For these worthies of old, the faith they had staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. In verse 21, I'm being fully persuaded. That's faith. That you are fully persuaded that God cannot fail. You're fully persuaded that God does not forget all the promises he has given, because he had knowledge of the past, knowledge of the present, and knowledge of the future. He knew you before you were born, knew you when you were born again, and is giving promises to you. And you're fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Whatever he has promised, precious salvation, entire sanctification, perfect healing, abundant provision, everything he has promised, he is also able to perform. We're told in Romans chapter 16, reading from verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. For the apostle received such revelation. He received the proper interpretation of the Old Testament, and also received deep revelation that wasn't there in the Old Testament, but now freshly revealed the unsearchable truth of the gospel of Christ, based on faith, based on obedience. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith, the gospel. For the obedience of faith, the good news. For the obedience of faith, the glad tidings. For the obedience of faith, all the promises of the gospel. For the obedience of faith, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated from the time of transformation to the time of the translation. Everything is by faith. From the time of conversion, of coronation, wearing the crown, the time of consummation, all is by faith. The day is lost when faith is not in action. That life is lost if faith is not in action. Every act, every work, every deed is lost if faith is not in action. Underneath that act, underneath that deed, underneath that event. Because we are told, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Faith beats death. Faith beats disease. Faith is the one that conquers everything from the slightest pain to the eventual death. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We cannot please God without faith. We cannot live a life pleasing unto God without faith. Faith appears invisible. Obedience is what makes faith visible in our lives. In verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. The most religious man on earth, the most religious man among us, cannot please God without faith. And the most active in the religious life, cannot please God without faith. The faith that obeys the Lord, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. If he wants to please God, he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word again, seeking the Lord diligently, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, diligently seeking the Lord. And we do that believing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. In Hebrews 6, verse 12, that ye be not slothful, of followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are promises you have learned, you have heard of, you have known, but you have not obtained. There is evidence of sluggishness, slothfulness, and laziness. Laziness to pray, laziness to possess. The people that obtained the promises, they did by faith, and they did by perseverance, patience, importunity, that will not give up, will not give in to discouragement. They will have, they must have the promise the Lord has given. Check out your personal life. Do you have more promises than performance? It is when we pray in faith, pray with perseverance, importunity, that performance will match the promises. But if the promises are all piled up and we don't realize them because our mind is slothful, our heart slothful, a personality slothful, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, perseverance, inherit the promises. It tells us in chapter 11 of Hebrews, reading from verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when was come to years, refused by faith, rejected by faith, and he abandoned something the world counts precious, great, that nobody will think of rejecting, of refusing, of abandoning. But by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused chieftaincy because of faith. He refused royalty in Egypt by faith. He refused the possibility of being a king, a pharaoh, a ruler in Egypt by whatever the world offers them. They don't even think twice, they accept. That's not a manifestation of faith in God. By faith in God, Moses refused it, rejected it, abandoned it. I must ask you, have you ever rejected anything the world counts great, precious, the world counts indispensable, that their goal? Have you ever rejected? We do that by faith. Verse 25. In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer, choosing rather the pain, choosing rather the suffering that will come by that decision, he did that by faith. Have you ever thought about that? Here is pain on the one hand, here is pleasure on the other hand. What do you choose? Without faith, all the time, you'll choose pleasure. You'll not choose pain. It's faith in God, knowing the calling of God, knowing the path that leads to the fulfillment of the promise, not only for you, but for the whole nation, and even for the whole world, that makes you have faith to choose pain, to choose suffering, and to be part of the people of God, to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why a people who have heard about salvation do not have salvation? The pleasures of sin for a season. Why are people who are saved, why don't they sometimes continue? The pleasure of sin takes hold of them. Why are some people who are called not come into the ministry? They fear pain, they fear poverty, and they relish, enjoy the pleasure of sin. Why? A people who have thought about sanctification over and over and over. The people who have heard about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Why are they not sanctified? Why are they not holy? The pleasures of sin. They have pleasure in some things they want, and that thing they want take the better part of them. It says, by faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach, elevating the reproach. Sometimes it's reproach from the members of your family. They belittle you of all that can be done. Look at this, our cousin. Look at this, our brother, our sister. Look at him. He has chosen to put everything into serving the Lord in truth and in spirit. And that discourages some people. Don't have faith. It's by faith that we esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27. By faith, when you hear the call, by faith to respond. When you are challenged, this is the way to go. It takes faith to stick your neck out and go that way. When it says, stand and look for the old path, the path that God himself has marked out, and choose that and go that way, it will be rest for your soul. It takes faith to see that narrow path, the narrow road, the narrow gate, and go in there. Takes faith. Unbelief will look at the broad way, the way of liberty, the way of due, as it brings pleasure to the flesh. It is faith that makes us to be able to walk in the way, in the path God has ordained. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He didn't see Pharaoh. He saw him, of course, naturally, but he saw God, not seeing Pharaoh. He didn't see all those Israelites that were saying, okay, if God is going to deliver us, look at our trouble. He saw God. He did not see the Red Sea. He saw God. And it is that faith that sees God every time that makes us to have the victory, obtaining the promises through the obedience of faith in the bleeding lamb. Number two, Number two, overcoming perplexities and obstacles of faith in the barren land. The children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, but they were to pass through the wilderness to get to the land of promise. Many of them, actually thousands of them, could not go through the barren land to get to the promised land. You know why? The obstacles of faith, unbelief in their hearts that hindered them getting through to that promised land. We're told in John chapter 20, reading from verse 24. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You can tell the people who do not have their concentration in fellowship, their commitment to the gathering of the people of faith. He did not have that commitment. Everybody was present except Thomas. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger, I trust what I touch more than what he said. He had said, the Son of Man will be betrayed, killed, and 3 days after arise again. He believed the touch of his finger. He believed the 5 senses, the sense of seeing, of taste, of touch, of hearing, of feeling. He believed that more than the promise of the Lord. And he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, I want to see that, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unbelief is deliberate until I see, until I touch, until I thrust my hand, I will not believe. Thomas, hear John talk. Yes, I heard. Hear Peter. Yes, I heard. Hear all the apostles. Yes, I heard. All the same, I'm not going to believe any testimony. I must touch before I believe. What a great obstacle to progress. What a great obstacle to the fulfillment of the promise of God in our lives. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, because now he had resurrection body, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, nobody reported to him. He knows all things. He knows our life. He knows our faith. He knows our doubt. He knows our deeds, our action. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither. Thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Wanting to see, before you believe, that the obstacle that hinders us from getting everything well to get. Wanting to touch. I don't feel the hardness there anymore. Now I believe that is the obstacle, the perplexity, the obstacle that hinders our faith and makes us remain the barren land. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29. Jesus says unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen in the natural, had not seen in the physical. They have overcome the perplexity and the obstacle to faith. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, brother, sister, those who have received salvation and conversion, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief comes out of an evil heart. Evil heart, the past old kind of heart. I'll not believe except I see. I'll not believe except I touch. Take heed, brother, sister, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Faith keeps us with the God who is always alive, but unbelief, evil heart, they make us to depart from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives us. That little thing, God cannot reject you for that. This deceitfulness of sin. Others do it, you can do it too, and there will be no consequence in the deceitfulness of sin. Or you can doubt once in a while, and nothing will come out of it. The deceitfulness of sin. Holiness doesn't have to apply to every area of life. Yes, you can be holy in general, but in this little thing, act of the flesh, that doesn't spoil holiness, is the deceitfulness of sin. Whatever sin you excuse, whatever evil you excuse, you have been deceived and you are hardened. Even when you hear the word of God, or when a friendly believer comes to you and he says, "Sister, can this be right? Brother, can this be right?" You're already hardened, because sin has deceived you that you are saved and you are saved, and nothing bad will ever come out of the acts of sin. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you, could be anyone, any of you, be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in. It had been promised to them, but they could not enter in because of unbelief, because of the hardened heart, because of the evil heart, because of the deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, New Testament, let us therefore fear, brethren in the new covenant, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being let us, giving us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. In verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. It's one thing to preach the word, another thing to believe the word. But if you allow the obstacles of faith, the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Psalm 78, reading from verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. How often did they provoke him, God, in the wilderness, became a barren land for them, and grieved him in the desert. Verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. He brought water out of the rock. You would have thought they would believe God for anything and everything after water came out of the rock. No. They limited the Holy One of Israel. You would have thought after the earth manna, the bread of angels that came from heaven and came every day, you would have thought they'll believe God for anything, everything. But no, they limited the God who is a wonder, miracle worker. You would have thought that passing through the Red Sea, they would have believed God for anything and everything. But no, they limited the God of heaven. After all that we have seen, after all that we have heard, after all the testimonies we have heard of salvation, the most unlikely person of healing in a person having terminal disease, after we have heard of the testimony of deliverance, dominion, after terrible drug habits, you would have thought we'll believe God for everything and anything. But he limited the Holy One of Israel. He wants us to believe him, because unbelief is damnable. Unbelief is dangerous. Unbelief denies us from entry into the promised land. It makes us to live in a barren land. Revelation chapter 21. Read from verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, what makes us fearful? Lack of faith. The unbelieving, who is that? One that has lack of faith. The abominable, the one that has lack of faith, is abominable in the sight of God. And murderers, what makes people kill? By their pen, by their writing. What makes people say something and expose that to the whole world? And when the man, the woman, they say that about himself, not having faith, he goes to kill himself. What he wrote, what he publicized, drove him to suicide. The murderers, unbelieving people. And the unmongers, those are adulterers and fornicators, licentious people, and the sorcerers, the people who will rather believe in sorcery than in the salvation of the Lord. and the idolaters and all liars. What makes people lie? Unbelief. If I tell the truth, I will not have this, I will not have that. If I tell the truth, all the things they have promised me, they'll not give me again. What makes people lie and deceive? The height I have reached. If I tell the real truth about myself, about my private life, about my deficiency, about my failure, they'll bring me down from the height I have reached. And so they have to tell lies. They do not believe it's God that brought them to that height. And telling the truth makes you a beloved in the sight of the Lord. And if he wants to keep you in that position, he will keep you. And in any case, if God does not want you to be kept in a position, what do you want to have? What God does not want you to have? Why are you edging God out of your life? And now you are for grabbing this and grabbing that. There's no need to tell any lie by a child of God, because the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers and unmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Then it says, which is the second death, the final eternal separation from God. We need to overcome all those perplexities. We need to overcome all those obstacles of faith so we can remain in favor with God, in favor with heaven. We're coming to number three. Number three is operating with power. You don't operate in weakness. Every day, whatever the challenge, operate in power, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, operating with power as ordained by faith. The bridegroom, Lord, he is a Lord, he is a bridegroom, and as the bridegroom, he provides everything. We think of him more than we think of anyone on earth. He's a bridegroom, the husband, the head of the church. We lean towards him more than we lean towards anyone on earth. It's our bridegroom, the husband, the head of the believer and of the church. We love him. We love him. We love him. It's the bridegroom. It's the head. He is the husband. The one you think of most. The one you love most. You think about yourself more than you think about Christ. You love yourself more than you love Christ. If you think of pleasure animal pleasure, sensual pleasure, more than you think of Christ. Animal pleasure is the thing you love more than Christ. That is your God. But we'll preach by the power, with the power as ordained by faith in the bridegroom Lord. Faith, very important. A walk with God determined by our faith. Our standing, stability, steadfastness in Christ is by the faith we have in Him. Every saved soul ought to remain steadfast, stable in the faith that we have in Christ, the bridegroom, the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, reading from verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith, when he bottled his there's no chance, there's no space for any other liquid. And when your heart, your mind is full of faith, there's no space for any other thing. No space for fear. No space for fretfulness. And no place for fainting. All we have to do is to make sure that the heart, the spirit, the soul, the inner man is full of faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Where there is faith, the power will be there. Where there is fearlessness, the power will be there. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Operate your life. Operate your day. Operate everything you do by the power of faith. Chapter 15 of Acts. Acts 15 verse 9. And put no difference between us and them. And put no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And put no difference between those apostles and us disciples. Faith makes us to be at the same level, to operate at the same level, and to have the experiences they had, which you can have on the basis of the power of faith. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. How pure was Paul the apostle? Because he said, we lived holily, righteously, godly among you, and God is witness, and you too, you are witnesses. And when we have faith and we operate in the power of faith, there will be no difference in the purity of heart, the holiness of life between Paul and us. The Lord fulfilled that in your life, in my life, in our lives, in Jesus' name. And so we stop saying, hey, look at that. I am not Paul. Why not? Hey, look at that. I'm not John the Beloved. Why not? I am not any of them. You want me to be as pure as Paul, as John, as those worthies of old? They say, well, I know myself. You don't know him who put no difference between those apostles and us, purifying their hearts by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. We don't stop at the lowest level of faith, from faith to faith. And as we move on, as the days increase, as the challenges increase, maybe the challenge of yesterday is less than the challenge of today. And the faith of yesterday will not carry, will not overcome, will not subdue, supplant the challenge of today. Well, today we can have the faith that matches the challenge of today, because we go from faith to faith as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just, a little child justified by faith, the just, that little child shall live by faith, appropriate to his little life. The believer, an adult, having challenges in the office, challenges in the community, they want to bring him, bring her down from the platform of faith. You have the faith appropriate for your situation. From faith to faith, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Maybe you have a different kind of challenge, but everyone has the faith appropriate for his calling, for his ministry, for his life. The family man, you have a lot of challenges. You rather stay outside than come in, because you're trying to spend more time outside, more than you spend at home. But every family man, every family woman has faith equal to the task, equal to the challenge, because he gives us faith that matches our situation, from faith unto faith, and we live like that. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In Romans chapter 5, we're reading from verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, your argument will never justify you. Your action, your good work, will never justify you. Giving 1,000 reasons for living the way you live will never justify you. There is just one thing in the sight of God that justifies us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. In verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith. We have access to all the grace we need. We have access to all the spiritual provision we need. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We don't wobble, we stand. We're not shaking, we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 5. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Faith, we preach by faith. We obtain by faith. We overcome by faith. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. When you walk by sight, what do you see? You see people. You see they are frowning. You see their assault. You see their insult. You see their determination to bring you down. And when you walk by that, you'll never achieve what God has made you to achieve. Walking by sight, the wind is blowing. Walk by sight, no success. And people are talking. They talk in your presence. They talk to the world for the world to reach. What they think you are, what they think you're not. You walk by sight, discouragement will come. Walk by sight, you'll forget the destiny for your life. But when you make up your mind and you say, whatever I hear, whatever I see, whatever I feel, whatever dazzling sight might come, I refuse all that sight. Now you walk by faith. You will succeed every time. Amen. You'll be up and up in Jesus' name. Amen. You do not evaluate your life by what people see, what people show, what people say. You determine, I won't see that. I won't look at that. Even if I looked and I saw, I won't walk by that. It is that decision. It is that diligence that you are walking by faith that supports you over. You'll have the victory in every area of your life in Jesus' name. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 17. Ephesians 3, 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You believe that? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in into him. I've opened the door of my heart. In faithfulness, he has come in, and he abides in me. By faith, Christ dwells in my heart, that he, being rooted and grounded in love. If you walk by what you see, by the people of the world, you might pray, I want to have love. I want to be grounded, and I want to be established, rooted in love. If you look at what people do, that prayer will be overturned. You will not walk in love. You'll be musing and meditating on what they do, what they say, how they act. And that thing will supplant your faith and your love. But when you are walking by faith and you refuse to see or sense anything anyone does, you're rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18. In verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints, that the saints are marching on and they don't leave you behind. The saints who are walking by faith, the saints who are working out their faithfulness, the saints who love God, love Christ, love the Holy Spirit, love the scriptures, and love the believers, they're going ahead. When you walk by faith, you will also comprehend and achieve what those other saints are comprehending. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If that's your interest, the fullness of God, if that's your desire, the fullness of God, if that is your goal, you want to be filled with all the fullness of God, if you exalt the fullness of God above all the worldly, earthly, fleshly pleasure, and the fullness of God in your life is number one, then you look away from all those other things so that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20. In verse 20, now unto him that is able, your God is able. I said, your God is able. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power will work in you today. Will work on you today. Will work for you today. And is able. Your request cannot be greater than his ability. Is able. Your prayer cannot be higher than his ability to answer. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh, not only worked in the past, worketh, not only will work in the future. One, unto him be glory in your life, glory in your family, and glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Appropriate amen. Prayer answering amen. He will do everything you are asking. He'll do above what you are asking. He'll do even what you think about that you cannot bring expression to. He'll do all those things you think. I want to be there. I will be there. I will climb up. He'll do everything in Jesus' name. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think. His power will work inside you. His power will work on you in general. His power will work for you. Am I talking about somebody there? Where is he? Where is she? Let's rise up now. The sky, the sea is the limit. Above the sky is your limit. Open your mouth. Call upon the Lord. Let him do what he has promised to do. He can. He will. He promised to do it. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.